this morning. As Randy mentioned, I do currently serve at the Covenant Church in Galesburg, Illinois. In fact, I grew up in Galesburg, and then I went to North Park University. I spent a few years in Michigan, 4 years in Michigan, working kind of odd jobs and being involved in the Covenant Church in Manistee, Michigan. And while I was there, I knew that God had placed a call on my life to be a pastor and to go to seminary someday, but I didn't want to hop right in after college, and so I was taking some time just to kind of confirm my call. And I tried to be a lay leader in the church, and I kind of failed. My last year up there, they invited me to be the youth director as they were beginning to transition, make some transitions in the church. And after that 1 year of being the interim youth director, I returned to Chicago, went to seminary. Last year, I served as the interim pastor at our Covenant Church out in Wakefield, Nebraska. That ended. I didn't have anything else lined up, and so I moved back where I had the most resources. And so I never expected to be living in Galesburg again, but it has been good to be home and to reconnect with people there. It has been great. Our church is celebrating 150 years this year, and so it has been great to be a part of that, to help with that planning, and just to see God's faithfulness through that. To see God's faithfulness and steps that He has been with me along in my life. And I'm excited, like I said, to be here and to connect with another Covenant Church this morning. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get into the Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that Your Word is a living Word. Lord, that even though we thank You that it has endured through generations. Lord, we thank You for those who came before us who told these stories over and over again and committed them to memory. Lord, we thank You for the authors that You inspired to write these stories down. Lord, we thank You for those in our faith heritage who came before us and wrote letters to one another. Lord, we thank You for all those who have done so much work to translate it so that we can read Your Word in our own native language. Lord, we thank You most of all that Your Word is a living Word, that although it has endured through generations, it's not some old, boring something, Lord, but that You continue to breathe new life into Your Word. And so, Lord, we ask that You would do that again this morning. We ask that You would breathe life into this Scripture, that You would inspire us through Your Word. Lord, all these things we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Are all of you familiar with CHIC? Have you heard of CHIC before? CHIC stands for Covenant High in Christ, and it's a conference that happens every 3 years, and Covenant students, high school students from all over the U.S. and Canada and even other parts of the world come together, and they join together at the University of Tennessee, and they have opportunities to worship together and connect together. And 6 years ago, I got to go to CHIC as a leader. I had, of course, gone as a student when I was growing up. But I had an opportunity to go to CHIC as a leader. I was a youth leader at a church in Michigan, which I already mentioned. And I was excited because my friend Eileen was also going to go, and the two of us were going to be the female counselors for our group. Eileen had become a good friend of mine when I was living up in Michigan. She had three boys that were a bit younger than me. Her youngest was coming with us on this trip to CHIC. And so having three boys, you know, Eileen has a little bit of a sense of humor. And she was always someone who would like to joke around and kind of give you a hard time, poke you in the ribs a little bit. And so I was excited to share this experience with my friend Eileen. And when we got to the University of Tennessee, I was running into all these different people from all these different seasons of my life. I ran into people from my years working at Portage Lake Bible Camp, one of our covenant camps up in Michigan. I ran into kids that I had seen come back to camp year after year, kids that I had watched grown up. And I ran into youth leaders that I had gotten to know from my years working at camp. And I ran into people that had watched me grow up at camp. And I ran into people from college, from my time at North Park. I ran into my roommate from sophomore year. I ran into a friend's parents who had welcomed me into their home for dinner once when we were passing through their town. I ran into other classmates that I wasn't quite so close to, but we knew each other by name, and we were just excited to see each other here in a new and different setting. I ran into people that I had grown up with at church. I ran into one of my friends. We were in youth group together, and now he was serving a church somewhere else. And I ran into other family friends and other church connections. And so all along the way, as we arrived at CHIC, I kept falling behind. So Eileen started to tease me about it. Perhaps she felt a little left out, or maybe she was a little annoyed, or maybe Eileen was just being Eileen and, you know, wanted to give me a hard time about something. But sure enough, I fell behind again. And when I caught up to the group, we were standing outside of the arena waiting for the main stage, the evening service and concert to begin. And if you've ever had an opportunity to go to CHIC, you know that it's just walls of people pretty much the whole time. And just about all 5,000 people that were in attendance were waiting to get into main stage. And so as I finally caught up to the group after catching up with another friend, Eileen started mocking me. And she said, "Oh, look at this. I can do this too." And she stuck her hand out. And she introduced herself to some random lady that was in front of us. She said, "Hi, I'm Eileen." And the woman said, "Hi, I'm Grace." And then Eileen took a little closer look at her name tag. And she said, "Grace, Grace Shim, you're a missionary. Our church supports you." And I laughed on Eileen's face. And we both experienced what Paul is expressing in these greetings from our passage from Romans today. Me greeting friends and acquaintances connected across cities, states, and conferences, and years because across connected us. And Eileen connected with Grace for the very first time across oceans and continents because across connected them too. When I go to an event like CHIC, or when I have an opportunity to come and speak at a church like this, my family has this saying. They say, say hi to anyone we know. And this portion of Paul's letter to the Romans is his say hi to anyone we know passage. There are some people that he knows well. Amphilytus, Stachys, Persis. These people he names as friends. There are others that he probably hadn't met yet. Mary, Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas. But through word of mouth, he knew something about them. And he knew just enough that he felt compelled to say hi to them by name. And so what I'd like to do with our time this morning is to take a closer look at some of those friends. So first, you of course know that we all have friends that we have a strong bond with. Perhaps you work in the same field as them, and so you have the same sort of jargon. You have the same, you use the same words and terms. Perhaps you have been through something significant together. For Paul, these people were Priscilla and Aquila. From the book of Acts and from Paul's letters, we know that Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. They were leather workers, just like Paul. And they moved around a lot. They were originally from Rome, but they had to leave Rome after Jews were banned. They spent time in Corinth and Ephesus, and they moved back to Rome. And through these travels, they encountered Paul. They were very supportive of the church wherever they went, and they had the means to be supportive, both financially and socially. And Paul says that they even risked their necks for him. And so Paul and Priscilla and Aquila were connected in a lot of different ways. But the strongest way in which they were connected was that a cross connected them. Paul also greets fellow leaders in this new Jesus movement. He greets other apostles, again, people with whom he shared a special bond and experience. He greets Andronicus and Junia. And here, I think it is important to stop and explain that this name is Junia, not Junius. If you look in some passages, in fact, if you look in the Bible in your pews, it's a bit older, and they name this person as Junius. But throughout all of early church history, this person's name was accepted as Junia. For the first 1,000 years of Christianity, she was understood to be Junia, a woman. Now, somewhere along the way, after those first 1,000 years, an S got added to the end of her name. Perhaps it was the mistake of a scribe as they took one passage of scripture, and before the printing presses, they had to write down and copy line by line each passage of scripture. Perhaps they accidentally added an S by mistake. Perhaps it had to do with a change in the way that the Greek, which was the language that this would have originally been written in, perhaps it had to do with a change in the way the Greek was written at some point. Or perhaps it was some sort of political decision, that they thought that an apostle couldn't be a woman, and so they added an S. But as scholars have looked at this over the last many years, they have come to conclude, most of them have come to conclude, that the masculine form, Junius, which could have been a shortened version of the name Junianus, was virtually non-existent. It's found nowhere else, Junius. But this feminine form, Junia, is very common. It's found all over the place. And so in 2011, translators finally started correcting this and changing the name to Junia. Like I said, depending on when your Bible was printed, it might still say Junius. But if you look on any Bible app, if you go to BibleGateway.com, many of them have already made that change, Junius. And it's important to note, I think this is important to note, because both men and women led the early church, and that should be an example for us today. And so Andronicus and Junia and Paul, apostles connected across different ministries because a cross connected them. Paul also mentions friends who are like family. He talks about Rufus and his mother. Rufus's mother, who has been like a mother to him as well. They must have met at some point in Paul's travels, and Rufus's mother must have offered some great hospitality to Paul for him to count her as like his mother too. The only other place that we see the name Rufus in the New Testament is in the Gospel of Mark, and we see it in the story of Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus. Mark notes that Simon of Cyrene was the father of Alexander and Rufus. We don't know for sure. Possibly that could have been the same Rufus. And here, Paul and Rufus and his mother were connected across many travels because possibly, quite literally, a cross connected them. Now, it's easy to skip over these names. It's easy to get to these portions in Paul's letters and see all these names that we're not familiar with and just kind of jump over them. But if we look closer, if we take some time and dig in and do a little research, we see that these people represent a variety of people serving the church in a variety of capacities. Paul lists almost an equal number of men and women. He singles out 7 women and 5 men for specific things that they have done in their ministry. As you study these names, you'll see that there are names that have Greek roots, names that have Latin roots, names that have Jewish roots. There are some names that indicate that some of these people may have been slaves. Some of them may have been free. Some of these names indicate people who are tradespeople, who are hard workers. other of these names and things that Paul tells us that some of these people were more prominent, more affluent, and others of them were more just average people. But Paul is connected with all of them, and they were connected with each other across lines of gender and culture and social status and prominence because a cross connected them. At the end of January, I had a chance to go to Midwinter, which is our Covenant Pastors Conference. And it is a great time just for pastors to connect and to just see what God is doing across conferences and across our denomination. And during one session, Cecilia Williams, our executive minister of Love, Mercy, Do Justice, was called up. And she invited a bunch of pastors up from areas that had been affected by natural disasters in the past year. So there were pastors from Houston and Orlando, Puerto Rico and California. They had been affected by Hurricanes Harvey and Irma and Maria. They'd been affected by wildfires and mudslides. And they represented many different ages and ethnicities and contexts. One of them was a friend of mine, Sarah Robinson. She's a pastor in Orlando, Florida, and she had an opportunity to share, and she spoke about what it was like to be in Orlando anticipating Hurricane Irma. She talked about what it was like to see people prepare for this storm, and she noted the famous saying that there are no atheists in foxholes, and she said that there are a lot less atheists in storms, too. And what she saw happening were people turning to God and relying on God. And through their turning to God in preparation of the storm, in preparation of what unknown things lied ahead of them, she said that many people were led to the cross. She said that God gives us one another to get through life's storms. And so after Sarah shared, many other pastors took their turn. And they thanked the covenant, our denominational family, for their support of finances and support for sending mission teams to help in recovery efforts. And they stood up there to remind us of the work that still needed to be done. And much of that work is still out there. It still needs to be done. My older brother just came back a couple weeks ago from a mission trip to Puerto Rico. And because a cross connects us, we are able to join Christ in bringing hope and healing and restoration and relief across states, across conferences, and even across cultures. What's remarkable about this passage from Romans today is that Paul is being so specific about the people that he's greeting. But do you know that Paul hadn't even visited that church yet? He hadn't visited the church in Rome yet. He'd been focused on the eastern part of the known world, the eastern part of the Roman Empire. All these letters he wrote, Corinthians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Galatians, those are all from towns in the eastern part of the Roman Empire. And kind of an overview to the letter of Romans, we hear Paul saying that the gospel is for everyone, Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews alike. And so in his letter to the Roman church, Paul sends his greetings and he lets them know that he hopes to come and visit the western part of the Roman Empire. He wants to go to Spain and he wants to stop by and see them on the way. And he's asking them to support him as he seeks to connect with different Christians all across the different parts of the Roman Empire because a cross connected them. So Paul, after saying hi to everyone he knew, sends his greetings to the church as well. He says, all of the churches of Christ send their greetings. Phoebe, Priscilla, Aquila, Epenetus, Mary, Andronicus, Junia, Amphilitus, Urbanus, Stachys, Apelles, the household of Aristobulus, Herodian, the household of Narcissus, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus, and his mother, Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, Philogelus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus. Some of these names familiar, some of them foreign. But because a cross connected them, they were connected, across gender, across culture, across social status to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in Rome. And we are here today because of brothers and sisters like them. Like I said, some of their names are familiar. Some of them are foreign and seem almost unpronounceable. But we're connected with them across time because our mission is still the same, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and the work he has accomplished through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And friends, there is much more work still to be done. There are still greetings to send and bonds to be strengthened here now in our time. And greetings and bonds to be strengthened in our denominational family. In fact, this morning, as I was preparing to come here, we had an event at church last night. And so I bring you greetings from my parents, Tom and Cheryl Eck. I bring you greetings from Fred and Jeannie Newbert. I bring you greetings from Mary Harlan. I bring you greetings from Ted Bailey and Matt Hawkinson. And I bring you greetings from Steve Tolley, who has come to the church just in the last few years. And I don't know that he's really had a chance to interact much within our conference yet. And yet when he saw me last night, he says, "You tell the church in Peoria I said hello." So hello from Steve Tolley. We have plenty of opportunities to send greetings and strengthen our bonds within your own local community. I'm sure there are, this morning, the walk that someone was talking about going on and partnering with Northwood Church, there are plenty of opportunities to strengthen our bonds with other Christians within our own communities. And there are still plenty of opportunities for us to send our greetings and to strengthen our bonds with people across lines with regards to healing these lines that seek to divide us, like race and culture and even politics. Hi, I'm Eileen. Hi, I'm Grace. 1 year later, in the summer of 2013, I got a call from Eileen. She was inviting me for dinner because she and her husband, Brian, had a special guest. They were hosting a missionary. They were hosting Bob Shim, the husband of Grace, who Eileen had met so randomly at Chick just 1 year before. And because a cross connected us all, we sat connected across the table. And we joined together with Christ and his mission to bring hope and restoration and healing to the world. And that is our prayer still today. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for these opportunities to connect. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities to connect with you through your scripture. Lord, we thank you for opportunities to connect with our brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone before us years before through the reading of your scripture. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity today to connect with our covenant brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray that you would be with us as we continue to greet one another and as we seek to strengthen our bonds, not only with one another, but with you, because your cross has connected us all. Lord, all these things we pray in your name. Amen.